Now, yesterday, the DUP's Jim Wells hit out after the party fielded its openly gay candidate in the local elections. Mr. Wells certainly didn't hold back on some of his thoughts. Here's some of what he said yesterday.
My experience of the LGBT community is a very militant, radical organisation which wishes to destroy the basis, the basic building block of society. And the basic building block of our society is family and its traditional marriage. And we destroy that, Stephen, at our peril if we go down the LGBT manifesto.
So you think gay people destroy families?
I believe that...
That's what you've just said.
Yes, I believe that the LGBT programme or policies will ultimately lead to a reduction in the value placed upon marriage and family life. And that is a very dangerous step to take.
In what way does a gay person not have the same aspirations as you, Jim?
Because
to protect and love their family.
Because, Stephen, it's quite clear that many of us believe, and many of our supporters believe, that that lifestyle is not one that is acceptable.
And he also had this to say about the DUP, his party, and what he believes this is the start of within his party.
I believe that this is a fundamental departure from the ethos of the party as founded by Dr. Paisley. And there are many, many members out there who are deeply worried and concerned that this is a step in the wrong direction and a step too far. And also, where's this leading to? It's leading to the party being softened up to accept same-sex marriage.
So do you think this is a significant moment for the DUP? Is the party now softening up its base for a major shift on LGBT issues? With me this morning, John Tong, politics professor at Liverpool University. Morning to you, John.
Good morning.
Morning. And the commentator, Alex Kane. Morning, Alex.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, John.
This shouldn't be underestimated, Alex. Is this a fundamental change, the beginning of a fundamental change in how the DUP positions its policies on gay people and gay issues, or not?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as saying it's a fundamental change at this point, Stephen. I think it's good as someone who has never had a union, has never had any hang-ups at all about people's sexual orientation. I could just say, Stephen, I want to say, because I think it's worth saying, but it reflects on something wider Jim was saying when he says about, you know, the undermining of the traditional family and how kids are brought up in marriage and so on. I don't have that traditional family, Stephen. I'm an atheist. I'm not married. My children were born out of wedlock. I have no hang-ups about same-sex marriage and things like that. The logic of Jim's argument is that people like me are as much a threat to the so-called, you know, society he wants to champion. And by extension, also suggesting that somehow you can't really be a unionist. You're not locked in to the unionism he understands. So that's a dangerous path for him to go down. But on the general point, the wider point, or the more specific point, sorry, about whether this particular thing in this election represents a fundamental, I don't think it does at this point. I think the DUP, when the results come in, they will look at that result particularly closely. They won't make a big fuss about it and tell you that now. But on the day, they will be saying, did the vote fall? Did she get any more votes? Did votes come from somewhere they didn't expect? So they'll be watching that. And yes, Stephen, if they sense either way that it's done them electoral damage or done them no damage at all, then yes, that may then have an effect on what they do and how they change their policy.
John Tong?
I think it's significant, the fact that they've chosen an openly gay candidate, because the DUP's selection process is very top-down. Alison Bennington would have had to submit a CV. She would have been interviewed by party officers. They'd have asked. They potentially might have asked her such questions. So the fact that the party has deliberately chosen to field a gay candidate, which I think is significant given the DUP's history. We've moved a long way from Save Ulster, from sodomy. I'm not sure it represents a change in policy on same-sex marriage. I'm not sure the DUP would necessarily die in a ditch anymore in terms of opposing same-sex marriage, but they know they haven't got the veto. Let's say some miracle happens and Stormont is re-established. The DUP will not on its own be able to table a petition of concern to block same-sex marriage. And the noises coming out of the UUP are that Robin Swan would not favour any of his MLAs helping the DUP out on that, even though only two UUP MLAs have ever voted in favour of same-sex marriage. So it's one of those issues, I think, that where the DUP will not go with the flow and back same-sex marriage, but rather like, you know, the opening of parks on a Sunday, or rather like the decriminalisation of homosexuality way back in 1982. The DUP are seen to be on the wrong side of the argument, but it comes to pass, the world doesn't cave in, and the DUP just get on with it. That's how I see this.
And do you think this could be potentially damaging to some of their base? Do you think they could lose votes out of doing this, John?
Yeah, it's a great question. But I think in terms of the members, yes, there will be some members who will share the Jim Wells view. Remember that...
Jim Wells was suggesting within that interview yesterday that senior members of the DUP had been in touch with him to say that they were deeply unhappy about this. There was no consultation, he claims, within the party about it, and they want a rethink.
Well, certainly some members, including potentially some senior members, would be unhappy about it. When we did the membership survey, and it's only 5 years old, 65% of DUP members said that they thought homosexuality was wrong, let alone things like same-sex marriage. So Jim Wells is with the membership in that sense. But if you look at DUP voters, at the last election, when we did the Northern Ireland general election study, there were more DUP voters in favour of the legalisation of same-sex marriage, in other words, dropping so-called long-held opposition, that were actually opposed to it. So, you know, your average working-class, loyalist DUP voter in East Belfast, does he or she really care about issues of sexuality these days? I'm far from convinced that they do. And the DUP, one thing you can say about the DUP is it's very good at knowing its base. And, you know, voters, I think, care less and less about issues of sexuality. So there is a disjunction in some ways between the DUP's membership, in which the largest single category is still Free Presbyterian, albeit only just, and the DUP voter base out there, which is actually quite different from the profile of DUP members.
It also begs the question, Alex Cain, doesn't it? What does this candidate actually think about gay marriage and about their party, her party, stopping gay people in Northern Ireland getting married? What's her views on it? It begs that question, Alex.
Oh, it does beg that question. And when the story came to my attention last week, I remember somebody saying to me, he said, well, Alex, how could she possibly stand for a party which gives the very clear impression that it's opposed to her lifestyle, opposed to the lifestyle of her friends and so on? Maybe she takes a view, Stephen. I think it's an important view because it affects a lot of people who come into politics at some point in their life. Maybe she thinks it's the old Barack Obama thing. Be the change you want to see. Be the change you want to happen. Maybe she put her name forward, not expecting. Maybe thinking, no, there's not going to be any support for this at local level. I've got herself through. Maybe she even just, if she gets elected, maybe she just, people meet her, talk to her. Ordinary DUP voters think, so what? Doesn't matter. And John's right. John is absolutely right about all of this. When it comes down to it, I spend my life, John knows this, I spend my life talking to unionists from all parties on a daily basis. I have never yet met one DUP member or voter, of fairness, I haven't talked to Jim personally, who said to me that if it came down to a choice between same-sex marriage or, you know, liberalising homosexual law, whatever it is, that they would say, oh, no, that's a step too far. For all of them, Stephen, it's the union that matters first and foremost. And as John says, yes, they will. Some of them will go, oh, look, let's not make it a big issue. Let's just get on.
Here's Philip in London. Morning, Philip.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Philip.
I listened to the interview yesterday morning with great sadness. Despite the accident, I'm from Northern Ireland. I was born and bred there. I left when I was a young man, and the reason for my leaving was because I was gay, and I found Northern Ireland very oppressive. As a young man, I experienced the Save Ulster from sodomy campaign.
So do you think this is a step forward by the DUP? We've just got 30 seconds before the news.
Okay, I really don't think so, because the candidate involved has not made a declaration about her sexuality.
Well, she says her sexuality is a private matter, as it is for everyone else. Philip, we've got to leave it there. Alex and John, thank you very much.